Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Lost Ranger, an Alex Rogers Adventure, by Charles Lamb. Narrated by Travis Baldry. Chapter 1. The increasing vibrations of something pounding the ground woke Alex from a dead sleep. His head hurt and his body ached as if he had been sleeping on rocks. As the pounding increased, he opened his eyes and found he was lying on the ground, just inside a line of trees. Beyond the trees, he could see a dirt road and several horses as they went past at a full gallop. Sitting up, he looked around with a feeling of total disorientation. He had been sleeping on a rough-hewn, multicolored blanket. For a cover, he was under a brown cloak that had a fur inner liner. On one side of this bedroll was a fire pit between him and the road, with ashes still smoldering. On his other side was a large black horse, generally ignoring his presence. Looking around, he saw a number of items nearby. A dark, silver-trimmed saddle, with large leather pouches that resembled saddlebags, sat between him and the horse. There was a bow with a full quiver and a hand-and-a-half sword in its sheath on the other side near the fire. All this gear lay nearby, supposedly his, though none was familiar to him. Even the saddle and bags looked nothing like the Western gear he was comfortable with, but all were similar enough to be recognizable. Looking around further, he realized his dog, Kinsey, was nowhere to be found. As he was preparing to shout for her, Alex heard a woman scream a short distance away. Without thinking, he pushed off the cloak and grabbed the sheathed sword. In a practiced move, he slung its long belt over one shoulder so it rode diagonally across his back. He then reached for the bow and quiver and dashed in the direction the horses had just gone, toward the scream. Slipping in between the trees, he turned down the dirt road at a dead run. Heavy forest on both sides of the road blocked most sounds but those ahead of him. In a few moments, he could hear the clang of metal on metal and men shouting. He rounded a bend in the road just in time to see several men fighting. With swords flying, it looked like a scene from a Robin Hood movie. Everyone was in tunics and chainmail, long swords flailing. They were apparently from two different groups, as some tunics were in red with gold trim, while others were mostly blue. To the right side of the road was an ornate, enclosed coach, its horse team cut loose and nowhere in sight. Alex could see where the harnesses had been cut free, the coach stranded along the side of the road. Standing next to the coach was a young woman in an exquisite full-length dress, her long brown hair nearly to her waist. From the look on her face, she was very distressed and most likely the screamer that Alex heard earlier. Between her and the fighting was another woman, in full body armor, polished and shiny, with her red hair pulled back away from her face. Her sword was drawn, and she was holding it out in front of her in a defensive stance. She had her other arm out as if to shield the first woman from harm. All around the fighting were the bodies of men from both sides, laying on the ground either already dead or dying. There was blood everywhere, causing those still battling to slip in the mud it created. The men fought with care or risked slipping, and a fall could prove fatal. "Where the hell am I, and where's Kinsey?" Alex asked himself, shaking his head at the scene before him. "Yesterday we were hiking in Washington State. This isn't the Cascade Mountains." Alex shook his head. He couldn't try to figure that out now. His attention was drawn back as the four men in the same medieval-type red uniform skewered the remaining two blue soldiers, taking advantage of the unequal numbers. From their actions and location, Alex assumed the blue had been defending the women by the coach. From the reaction of the two women, the anguish clear on their faces, he assumed they knew the dying men. On the far side of all the fighting sat three men on horseback, watching. Two looked like dandies, the men dressed in fanciful attire, also trimmed in red. They did not appear to be wearing chainmail, and their clothing was not suited for battle. The third man was dressed like the men in red on the ground. He held a crossbow across his lap, pointed at no one in general. Alex was sure he must be delusional at this point. He figured he was really laying at the bottom of a hole somewhere in the Washington forest. He was sure of it. This all looked like something out of one of the fantasy novels he liked to read, although the blood and gore was far too realistic for his tastes. The four soldiers started to approach the women, swords menacing. Without thinking about it, Alex shouted, "Hey, back off!" With that shout, all eyes turned to Alex. One of the men on horseback shouted something Alex didn't understand, but his gestures clearly indicated he wanted Alex to butt out. Alex wasn't sure what to do next, as this whole situation seemed completely unreal to him. Everyone seemed to pause for a moment, and then the same dandy on horseback issued another command, this time to the rider with the crossbow. In one swift move, the rider lifted the crossbow and fired it at Alex. Without mentally acknowledging it, Alex had knocked an arrow in his bow earlier while watching the fighting. Smoothly sidestepping the crossbow bolt, he raised the bow and let fly in return. In a flash, the arrow hit the rider in the left eye, the shaft appearing at the back of his head as he fell from the horse. With that, the dandy shouted again, and the four swordsmen in red turned to Alex. He quickly released two more shafts in rapid succession, dropping two men as the others closed on him. He then dropped the bow in his left hand and with his right hand drew the sword from the sheath across his back. Then, in his left, he drew a fighting dagger from his belt he hadn't even realized he carried. Alex was moving like a man possessed. He had no idea at all what he was doing. It could be called muscle memory, except he had never practiced the moves he was now performing with proficient skill. He knew from his reading that he was using what was called the Florentine technique for sword fighting. The disconcerting thing was, he had never in his life done it. He slipped to one side, engaging the closer swordsman, deflecting his attack with the sword while slashing at him with the dagger. As the man retreated, Alex continued the spin, catching the second attacker off guard and driving the dagger into his exposed shoulder. Alex withdrew just in time to avoid the renewed attack from the first man, parrying the swing with his own sword and then driving the dagger into the man's exposed middle. It was then that Alex noticed both men had chainmail under their tunics, but the dagger was slicing through it as if it were mere cloth. Pushing off to break away from the man as he was falling, Alex caught a glimpse of the wounded swordsman driving toward him with raised sword, too close for Alex to block in time. Suddenly, a black mass of fur and teeth leaped past Alex, grabbing on the swordsman's arm and wrenching him to the ground. A second snap at his throat had blood spouting everywhere. As Alex recovered, he braced and backed away to address the large black wolf that turned to face him. As its face looked up to meet his, its tail started wagging. Looking into its eyes, Alex couldn't believe what he saw. Kinsey? Kinsey came up to Alex, tail flying in both directions and licking the offered hand. As Alex was patting her head, the red-headed woman in armor shouted something at him and pointed up the trail. At the same moment, the other woman darted forward, checking the fallen in blue. Alex turned to see the two dandies riding away at a hurried pace. The redhead shouted again, pointing at Alex's bow and then the riders, while stepping forward to cover the other woman with her sword. "What?" Alex asked, shrugging his shoulders at her. She again pointed at the riders more insistently, repeating whatever she had said before. Not waiting to interpret further, he dropped the sword and then picked up his bow. As he stepped forward, he pulled an arrow out of one of the fallen men in red and drew back on the bow. Again, with a skill he didn't understand, he waited and then let the shaft fly. All three watched as the shaft and rider converged, the arrow striking the rider in the right shoulder. It was a solid hit, but without enough force to displace the rider from his saddle. It had hit the man who had been shouting orders earlier. Turning to the women, he watched as the one in armor started to raise her sword, apparently to confront him. Before she could advance, the other snapped at her, pointing to Alex and then all the dead. With that, she lowered the blade, but did not sheathe it. At this point, Alex was completely confused and wanted to puke. He had just killed five men, and his 50-pound dog had become a 200-pound wolf. Everyone was speaking a language he didn't understand, and so far none had understood a word he said in reply. Returning to pick up his sword, he resheathed it. While he stood petting Kinsey, he watched as the woman in the dress checked the rest of the fallen blue soldiers, sadly shaking her head. Alex interpreted that to mean all had perished. After checking the fallen, she walked over to the redhead and said something that seemed to set off an argument. The one in the dress kept pointing up the road in the direction that the two dandies had run off. The one in armor kept pointing back at the men on the ground. Finally, the one in armor went over to the bodies in the red uniform that had attacked Alex, cutting the small leather pouches off their belts. After she had all eight of the swordsmen and the crossbowmen's, she went over to the other woman and started emptying each of them, one by one. With each one she emptied, Alex could see a mixture of what appeared to be gold, silver, and copper or bronze coins. She would point to the gold coins and then say something to the woman in the dress. The best Alex could interpret from her actions was as if she was saying, "See?" with every gold coin. It appeared each man possessed two shiny new gold coins, the balance being a mixture of several dull silver and bronze coins. There were never more than two golds, except for the crossbowman, who had three. It seemed clear to Alex that someone had paid off the men to attack these women. The woman in the dress nodded and pointed back down the road in the direction Alex had come. Again, the redhead shook her head no while pointing to the fallen in red. Finally, the one in the dress pointed into the woods to Alex's right. The two talked further until the one in armor seemed to agree, reluctantly. She then scooped all the coins into one bag, handing them to the woman in the dress. During this entire exchange, Alex had been scratching Kinsey between the ears and wondering when he was going to wake from whatever coma he must be in. He laughed to himself, as at least his delusions included pretty women. While the woman in armor kept a wary eye, the one in the dress approached Alex. Extending the bag with all the coins, she spoke while looking at Kinsey nervously. Alex couldn't understand a word. He had heard French, Spanish, German, Italian, and several Eastern European languages, and none sounded like this. "Look, I have no idea what you are saying," Alex replied while accepting the bag. She looked to be in her mid-twenties, the other in armor appearing to be about the same age. However, while this one was no more than 5'5", the one in armor had to be 5'10 at a minimum. Both women just stared at him for a moment, and then the one in the dress said, "Abriana," pointing at herself. She then said, "Cassie," pointing at the redhead. "Cassandra," said the other in a sharp reply. "Alex," he said, getting the gist of the exchange, and then said, "Kinsey," pointing to the wolf. Abriana looked nervously at Kinsey for a minute, and then repeated, "Alex, Kinsey, Cassie, Abriana," and then pointed to the woods behind her. "Cassandra," the one in armor repeated again, though Alex could see she had started gathering horses and other items. He understood they were asking him to go with them. "One moment, stay here," he said, while pointing to both the women and then to the ground. He then turned and at a trot, and with Kinsey close behind him, returned to the spot where he had awoken earlier. The big black horse and all the gear still sat where he had left it. At least his delusions were consistent. He began saddling the horse as best he could. He eventually figured out how the cinch worked and attached the bedroll and bags to the back. Leading the horse back out onto the road, he found the women still waiting where he had left them. They had been very busy. All the men in blue had been pulled to the side of the road and lay in a row near the coach. Each had a cloth covering the body, although for most it only covered their faces. All the soldiers in red lay where they had fallen. The women had also prepared two horses for riding and a third burdened with supplies and gear from the coach. Two of the horses had the red and gold trimmed saddle blanket of the men Alex killed. None of the three horses seemed all that happy with Kinsey, but Alex's mount appeared ambivalent to her presence. Alex also noticed Abriana had changed out of her dress and into a more functional riding outfit. With no idea what was going on or where he was going, Alex and Kinsey followed as the two women led them off the road and into the woods. Chapter 2. Alex was completely lost. While he usually knew exactly where he was at all times, he wasn't even sure what country he was in, never mind the state. He had seen a map the women had and did not recognize a single feature. As for the marks that must have represented words, they were completely unintelligible to him. As they traveled through the forest, the trees seemed spaced to allow easy passage, and he marveled at the quiet. The day was not too hot, and the shade provided by the trees was interlaced with beams of sunlight. If he had to guess, he would say it was close to noon local time, unsure of where that actually was. He also wasn't sure what the deal was between these two women, but if they didn't stop bickering, he was going to scream. Since leaving the dirt road and the scene of the fight, they seemed to disagree at every turn. Several times they stopped and hovered over the map, each pointing out different routes marked there. They would then debate for a period and finally mount up and head off. He was still in a bit of shock over the whole battle thing. He couldn't explain his new fighting skills or the spectacular shots with the bow. The bow itself was nothing like he had ever seen. It was shaped like a typical recurve bow, but with what looked like a black lacquer finish. The grip was some kind of black leather and was very firm and comfortable in his hand. The sword and dagger grips were made of the same material. The blade of the dagger had the appearance of Damascus steel and was sharp enough to shave the hair off his arm. The sword blade was of the same metal, but it had etchings the entire length and some scribble Alex couldn't make out. It looked like writing, but was like nothing he had ever seen before, and not the same as on the map Abrianna carried. He also noted his clothing was not even close to the t-shirt, jeans, and hiking shoes he had started the day with. His shirt was now a long-sleeved pullover, made of a light brown, almost tan, cotton-like material. It was soft and seemed to breathe well in the warm midday air, though a very tight weave and fairly form-fitting. His pants were of a heavier weave and more of a dark green. His hiking shoes had been replaced with leather pull-on boots, but with a soft sole, more like moccasins. The fur-lined cloak he had awoken in was rolled up and tied behind the saddle, with his bedroll. With several hours of riding behind them, the woman in armor stopped and, after a short conversation with Abrianna, dismounted. Alex remembered her distaste for being called Cassie, so he refrained from calling her that. Abrianna had done so several times during the ride without correction. He decided it must just be him she objected to using the name, rather than a general dislike of the familiar usage. It was getting late in the day, so following the other's lead, he dismounted and started pulling his gear off his mount. Not the most experienced of riders, Alex was pleased at how accommodating his horse had been. There was an unknown familiarity there, as if it were an old friend, but one he didn't remember. During the entire operation, Cassandra kept one eye on Alex. It appeared Abrianna didn't participate in these types of chores as she surveyed the area and pointed to various spots while speaking to Cassandra. At one point, she used Alex's name and indicated he should gather wood. He assumed she wanted a fire, as she dropped two pieces of wood in a small depression and then pointed around her at more. Doing as he was told, Alex first hobbled his horse, turning it free to graze, and then started collecting wood. Happy for the familiar task, he first started piling it near the depression. When he finally gathered enough, he started picking and choosing the right pieces to kindle a fire. Glancing up, he noticed the two women watching him with curiosity. Once he had everything set up, he riffled through his bags looking for something with which to start the fire. Since there was a fire pit smoldering where he woke, he assumed he had something. He shifted through his bags, but there wasn't anything resembling a flint and steel or any other fire-making tools, much less matches or a lighter. Grabbing a strip of leather to use as a string, he picked through the wood he had gathered until he had the pieces he needed for a fire drill. He could hear the women whispering as he pulled his dagger out to shape the pieces he required. With Kinsey watching disinterestedly, he began assembling the bow. He looped the string around the shaft, and working the bow back and forth, he began rotating the shaft. The rotation created friction on the base, where Alex had placed some wood shavings. After a few minutes, he had a glowing ember that he could drop on the tinder. Blowing gently, it burst into flames, igniting the smaller kindling. Looking up, Alex noted the women looked more confused now than before he started. It was as if they had never seen anyone make fire by hand before. By now, Cassandra had spread out two bedrolls on one side of the fire while indicating Alex should find a spot on the far side, away from them. He had noticed Abrianna had smiled several times during the day, but Alex couldn't recall a single grin from Cassandra. Alex believed her sour mood was due, in part at least, to all the movement in her armor. Up to this point, all the activities she had performed were done standing. However, as they were getting ready to prepare a meal, she was not going to be able to move well in the suit. She had removed a few pieces herself, but while never having worn one himself, Alex was sure you needed help to get completely out of armor. Why she wouldn't ask Abrianna to help was odd. He watched her struggle to bend and crouch for a few minutes before he finally stood up and said, "Cassandra." As she turned to him, he slowly approached. He could see her tense as he reached out, knocking his hand away as he reached for the straps that held the breastplate in place. With Abrianna watching them both, he reached out more firmly this time, grabbing the plate at her neck with one hand while pulling on the leather strap with the other, releasing the top strap. Raising her arm, he got the ones on the side, allowing her to open the front and back like a clamshell. His mission completed, he stepped back and returned to his place on the far side of the fire. Cassandra stood watching him for a moment before sliding the plate mail off and then removing the rest of her armor herself. Once free of its restrictions, she started gathering supplies for a meal. With that settled, Alex started rooting through his own bags, looking to see what food his hallucination had provided him with. He found a large wrapped object in one of the bags. Opening the wax-like paper, he found a bone, about a foot long, with pieces of meat partially dried on it. He looked over to see Kinsey eyeing him intently, so he tossed the bone to her. She caught it easily and then lay back down, happily chewing away. Alex found several more similarly wrapped items in his bags, but as he was preparing to offer some to the women, Cassandra stepped over. She handed Alex a skewer with a large piece of raw meat on the end. In the other hand was a fist-sized round of bread. "Thanks," he said. She acknowledged the comment, obviously not understanding the words. She then returned to her side of the fire where Abrianna was already roasting her piece over the fire. Amongst the many items Alex had found when he packed up after the fight was a large water skin. He had been drinking from it all day and poured some water in a depression in the rock for Kinsey before drinking himself. The women had a similar one, although Cassandra was pouring what looked like wine from theirs into cups. She would first fill Abrianna's cup, and then pour a smaller amount for herself. At one point, Abrianna made some comment to the redhead, indicating Alex as she was pouring. She hesitated for a moment, and then made a move to get up. Assuming she was headed over to offer some of their drink, Alex held up one hand, halting her in mid-motion. He then held up his water bag and dipped his head slightly, trying to display a "thanks anyway" message. With whatever coma he was hallucinating in, even imaginary wine was not appealing at the moment. The offer made, Cassandra sat with a short comment to Abrianna, who nodded in return. For the next half hour, they ate silently. Every so often, Kinsey would lift her head at some noise, only to settle down a minute later. In dog form, Alex had seen the same movements many times as she guarded her home. As he ate, Alex subtly appraised the two women in his delusion. Abrianna had a head of light brown hair, long but very well groomed considering the circumstances. From her fine attire and delicate build and manner, he suspected she was some sort of aristocracy. She was very pretty, with her facial features soft and fine. She was kind to both he and Cassandra, although she tended to let Cassie perform the lion's share of the heavy lifting. Cassie, on the other hand, was far from delicate, though still quite feminine. While her undergarments for her armor were almost as fine as Abrianna's, she was, well, just bigger. At least 5 to 6 inches taller than Abrianna, she was not out of proportion in any way. She was still a few inches shorter than Alex, but from the little exposed skin he could see, she was in very good shape. Her skin was fairer than Abrianna's, who seemed a little tanner. With her light red hair, he took her to have an Irish heritage, supposing there was such a thing here in his delusion. Her hair was almost as long as Abrianna's, but she tied it in the back. Her face was very pretty as well, but she had more of that healthy, athletic, girl-next-door look going for her. He tried not to be too obvious, but he noticed he was getting just as much scrutiny from them. They would pass quiet comments back and forth as they ate, Abrianna doing her best not to make a mess of her meal. Once everyone had finished, Alex noted a subtle but pointed exchange between the two women. Cassandra was not happy with something Abrianna had said. She had been eyeing Alex's dagger throughout the meal, as he had been using it to eat with. He cut both his and Kinsey's pieces from the roasting meat strip with it. He had cleaned it earlier before eating, and she had taken serious note of it then. Its sharpness was a marvel, slicing through the chain mail as easily as it sliced the meat off the skewer. Taking the blade carefully, he presented the hilt to Cassandra, offering her a chance for a close look. She paused at first, and then came around to accept the offering. Returning to her seat, she inspected it closely and then presented it to Abrianna, saying something that drew a nod of agreement. Carefully returning the dagger, hilt first, she returned to her seat and then, while Alex resheathed it, she and Abrianna began discussing something in earnest. This went on for several minutes before Cassandra finally threw her hands in the air, a clear sign of surrender. As Alex watched, both women moved around the fire and over to his side. Cassie was clearly on edge, so Alex made sure to keep both hands in his lap and away from the hilt of his dagger. His sword lay next to his bedroll. Reaching down, Abrianna took Alex by the hand and led him to one side of the opening near the fire pit. With Abrianna leading the way, they both stopped, and then she turned to face him, taking his other hand in hers. Then Abrianna began speaking something, starting in almost a whisper. To Alex, it sounded like something between a chant and a rap. Unexpectedly, as Alex watched her, Abrianna began to glow. Still holding his hands, he felt a tingling coming up his arms from her hands, her light green glow gaining intensity. As the intensity grew uncomfortable, there was suddenly a giant ball of white light exploding between the two of them, throwing all three to the ground in different directions. The last thing Alex felt was hitting the ground before he blacked out. As he came to, Alex Rogers hoped he was free of his delusion and back in Washington. He remembered that day so clearly. He'd placed his backpack with all their supplies in the jeep, and with Kinsey in the passenger seat, they headed out I-90 and then into the mountains. Following a map segment he found in a book, he jumped off the nearest exit close to his destination and then headed back into the mountains. At this point, the roads were all dirt and very poorly maintained. The Forest Service considered them firebreaks, not roads. They had been driving for a good 2 hours to reach this deep into the forest. He finally had to pull the jeep off the narrow road and into a small opening in the trees. He climbed out with Kinsey at his heels, pulling the backpack out and locking the jeep. Shouldering his backpack, Alex checked his map and the GPS. Alex prided himself on his sense of direction. Once oriented to his surroundings, he rarely ever needed the GPS or map. He would imprint his location in his head and constantly check his internal position against the features he had identified against the map. He boasted on more than one occasion that he was never lost. While you couldn't call the route he followed a path, there was a natural spacing between the trees, allowing his and Kinsey's passage. The undergrowth was much heavier on either side of him and would occasionally disappear into the foliage, only to reappear a few seconds later. With such heavy growth in the area leaving no landmarks visible, Alex would stop every so often just to check his progress. When the trees above opened up sufficiently to give the GPS some visible sky, he would pause to get a reading. Without visible landmarks and traveling an unmarked trail, distances were deceiving. He took a break as he caught enough sky to get a good reading. They had walked about 2 miles, so Alex took the opportunity to give Kinsey some water. As it was midsummer, the temperature was in the 80s, even here in the woods. Leaning his backpack against a tree, he pulled out a water bottle and filled a folding cloth dog bowl for her. Suddenly, Alex heard a loud cracking, and the ground gave way beneath his feet. Before he knew it, both he and Kinsey were falling, and then everything went black. Alex was now having a déjà vu moment as he lay on the ground. His eyes were still closed and his head hurt. His ears were ringing, but through the ringing he could hear someone talking and knew he most certainly was not back in Washington.
"Bree, are you all right? I told you not to mess with that ranger."
Opening his eyes, Alex could see Cassandra hovering over Abrianna. At that moment, Kinsey came over and started licking Alex in the face.
"Yes, yes, Kinsey, I am okay."
Turning back to the women, he saw them both staring at him.
"Why didn't you tell me you had magic?"
Abrianna snapped as Cassandra helped her to her feet.
"I have no idea what you're talking about," Alex snapped back. "And why can I understand you now?"
"That was a learning spell I was attempting. It was working fine until you released that defensive response."
"Look, I don't have any idea what the hell you were talking about. I'm not magic, I don't believe in magic, and I don't even have any idea where the hell I am.
Cassandra helped Abriana back to her seat by the fire and then supplied a cup.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?